I have the honor of introducing our speaker tonight. His name's Sam. He's pretty cool. And I'm sure that God has been speaking to him for a while now about what he's going to say tonight. So without anything else.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are we all? How are we? It would be a disservice for me to not begin my own sermon without saying, how are we? So how are we all? How's your week been? Well, can you feel it in the air? It's that kind of a night. If by some miracle you didn't know what tonight was after, can we say real quick, where'd Wocky just run off to? How about the hype videos from Wocky this week? A new quality level. Like, that was some high production stuff. I don't know if we got some new budget or something to work with, but that was something else. But tonight is water baptism night, and that's a pretty cool night, and I have the honour of speaking about it. So I'm pretty keen. I'm going to get stuck straight into it because we've got a lot to cover tonight. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get stuck straight into it. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the word that you've placed on my heart. I pray that it will touch each and every person in this room in their own particular way. But more importantly, Jesus, I pray that whatever your will be done tonight. Not my own, not anyone else's in this room, but your will. And Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for water baptisms and the opportunity that we have tonight to celebrate you and the people of our church. In your name, Jesus, amen. Cool. Well, did you know that around 95% of your brain has been fully functioned by the time you reach the age of 7? About your brain will be at adult size by the time you are about 9, kind of. Now, the reason why this happens is because you asked a lot of questions as a kid. A lot of questions. And it's really funny because the Burrells are going through this phase with their kids right now. I can't tell you how many times with Ezzy, he's just been like, why? But why that? But why does that happen? But if that happens, why is this? And then why that? Because as a kid, you knew it would get a response. You knew that it would have a response from the cool adult and that you would learn something. So you ask question on question on question on question on question. To give you the best example of this, me and Solly have a meme that we love very, very much. Do we have that video to put up on the screen? Beautiful.
What are you guys doing?
No, we're lost.
Psst, Nestor. Break the lowest sand block and place a torch underneath.
Because why?
Because it'll make him fall.
Why?
Because it's funny, he's gonna hurt himself.
Because why?
Nestor, just do it.
Fine.
That was funny.
Because why?
Yeah, because why?
Me and Solly love that meme so much. Without fail, for the past like 4 weeks, when we walk around work together, we're just like, because why? Because why? Because why? Solly does a really good impersonation of it. He does a good impersonation of just about anything. So, yeah. So about 6 to 8 weeks ago, Jesse contacted me and he said, hey man, I'd love for you to talk about water baptisms. And I'm a yes man. I'm a positive man. I will always back anything they get asked to do. So I was like, yes, come on. I get to talk about water baptisms. That's awesome. It'll be a high night. We get to celebrate the people of our church. We'll love this. And then about a week later, I realized I have to come up with a sermon about water baptisms. And then I understood that I may not be the wisest or the most knowledgeable, or I don't quite understand the theological aspects of it. So what did I do? I asked questions. I asked questions about baptism. I asked everything that I possibly could until I believed that I could get to a satisfactory level where I could produce a sermon. So I've titled my sermon, Baptism, because why? So hopefully I'm going to go through the questions. I'll answer them to a satisfactory level, the main questions that I had that, and dig them up a little bit. So without further ado, the first question, I had to throw a bit of a low ball to myself to start with. What is baptism? That's my first question. Well, it's essentially, the Greek word is baptizo, and it means ceremonial washing, which is essentially what it is for us as well. It's a ceremonial washing. But within the context of Christianity, What it's about is about identifying with Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and the fact that he died for you. And the significance behind it comes from the fact that you are declaring that to the people around you and to the world and saying, here I come. Now, the whole point of it is that it's sort of a rebirth. So you've lived your first life, and now you're going to live your second life as a Christian and a follower of God. So that's pretty cool already. We could call the sermon right there and then just go straight to the water baptisms. That would be okay. But I've got a little bit more to say. A lot of people also see it as an initiation process into the church. My personal example of this was when I was raised in a Christian household my entire life. I was very grateful for the life I was given by mum and dad. And I was always had the morals of Jesus comes first and we go to church on Sundays. Dad even preached every now and again. I had these morals always around me that God is the first thing. But then I hit about 8 to 10 and we were going to Hillsong at the time. And I hated going to church. I couldn't grasp it. I didn't enjoy praise and worship. The kids' service was weird. I couldn't quite get around it. And it probably just wasn't the thing for me. And honestly, it was probably because God was trying to push mum and dad towards this church to get me here. But, so I just hated it. I remember specifically one night, Bailey went to a party the night before. That's my brother. And he came home, and then the next morning we get up and we're getting ready for church, and Bailey's still in bed, and mum and dad went, oh, it's fine, we'll just leave Bailey, he can just sleep in, and we'll take Sam to church. And I thought to myself, oh, that's a pretty good idea. And so for the next year and a half without fail, every Sunday morning I would pretend to be asleep so that my parents wouldn't have to take me to church. Now, they were obviously very wise, and they'd come in and know that I was faking it. As an 8-year-old kid, obviously I was faking being asleep. And so they would pull me out of bed and they'd take me to church. Now, if we fast forward, I came to this church and I started loving it. I loved the people. I loved the church. I loved everything about it. And then I got baptized. And that was a pretty cool thing. It was a pretty cool thing. But the significance behind it was before I got baptized, the reason I was coming to church was because mum and dad were taking me to church. I had no real choice about that. Mum and dad were taking me to church. I can't be home alone. They were taking me to church. That was my idea of church at that point. But what the significance was about baptism was it was the moment where I stood on my own two feet on the church and said, I am here for my sake and for my relationship with Jesus, which is what the significance is of it. It was no longer me, my legacy with my mum and dad for the church. It was the beginning of my mission and my promise that was led out for me. So that's what baptism is. It's a ceremonial washing where we rebirth, and we declare to the world, here we come, get ready. Next question. Am I guaranteed to get saved if I get dunked? Simple answer is no. That's not how this works. It's not the act of going underwater that's the moment that you move from the naughty boys list to the good boys list, and then God says, that was the moment. That was the moment where you got saved. That's not what it is at all. One of my favorite things that I heard over this period of like studying the baptism was a podcast, and it said, if you go into the water a sinner, you'll come out a wet sinner. Nothing will change. The value in baptism comes from declaring that you have already been saved. That's the value of it. Being baptized isn't the moment where you're saved and you're going to heaven. Like, if I got baptized tonight, October 27th, I won't go to heaven and God will say, that was the moment where you were saved. That was the moment where you moved the lists and you moved across like Santa Claus. No, I was saved about 2 years before that, and that was the moment I was moved across to the good boys list. To give an example, it's like when you're playing handball. Now, I like handball. I was actually the Blaxland East Public School champion. Feel free to applaud that if you'd like. But no, stop the applause, because now my Sundays get spent getting pummeled by the Smithermans on a Sunday up at Mountain. So it's not worth it anymore. But handball is like baptism, because at the end of the day, if you get your friend out in handball, you're still going to be friends with them because actions have happened before that moment in Handball that have allowed you to keep that friendship. And actions have happened before you get baptized with Jesus. Actions have happened that keep that relationship. It's not the baptism that's the moment where you can start talking and in tongues and various things along those lines. That's not the significance of this. So are you going to get saved if you get dunked? No, but that depends on your intention. That's the best way I can put that. Next question. Why don't I feel like I'm being baptized when I jump into water normally? Now, this is a little insight into my ADHD brain, but I was singing here in church the other night. And I was just like, it'd be a funny idea if you like invited all your mates over for a pool party and then you just dived into the water on a hot summer's day and you start getting really emotional and then your friends are like, what's happening, Sam? What's going on? And you're just like, I just feel like I've been baptized and the Holy Spirit's really over me. That was just a funny idea for me. I don't know why. That's just my crazy little mind. But the truth is that these things do happen when people get baptized. They do feel like crying. They do feel so heavy that they can't even stand on their own two feet. These things do happen. I felt like crying when I got baptized, but I had to be the cool teenage stoicism. I had to practice it. I couldn't cry in front of my Strong Nation church. Now, to the guys being baptized, please do cry, do whatever. I think it ruined. It took away from the moment slightly the fact that I tried to hold back how I actually felt. But the reason why when you just dive into normal water, it doesn't feel like you're being baptized or you don't feel like you're touched by Jesus or anything along those lines, it's because of the intention behind that very moment. If we look back at exactly what Jesse preached last week, he talked about how you set up a correct space to interact with God, you will have a more effective period of time with it. If you dim the lights and you set some cool music and all these things. And baptism is beautiful for that because it sets the perfect space because you're declaring to the world that you love Jesus. And so Jesus is obviously going to want to talk to you in that moment and crazy things happen, which is one of the coolest things about it. Next question. Why was Jesus baptized? Now, I asked this question and then I realized I've opened up a can of worms in the fact that I could produce another 3 sermons on this. And then I asked Jesse this question a little while ago, and he sent me like a 3,000 word text about like all his different ideas and what he thought about it and all these cool things. I read it, it was fascinating. I was like, how am I going to cram this into a little bit of the word? But we might have to start like a whole term on that or something along those lines. It would be pretty cool. But the easy way to answer why Jesus was baptized is obviously to read the Bible first. So in Matthew 3:13, it says, then Jesus came to Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, if when we get baptized, it's a declaration of us being saved by Jesus, then why was Jesus getting baptized if it's a declaration of him saving himself? It doesn't quite add up. Well, if you look at the context of what actually happened around this time, as soon as Jesus was baptized, that was the moment where his mission began. He went straight out into the desert and he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil, and then he started collecting the disciples and his ministry went from there. And he did a pretty good job. I mean, I don't think you can really complain with what he did for the next couple of years. I think the coolest thing about it is that the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him. Now, you can get your tinfoil hats on and you can start theorizing what this actually meant, but essentially, the significance of that was that he was filled with the supernatural ability that he had, and he was filled with what he needed to continue his ministry. But that's why Jesus was baptized, because it was the start of his mission, and it's the same for you. When you get baptized, that's the moment where you start your own legacy and your own journey with God. Next question. If baptism is a rebirth, then why don't we have a second birthday for it? Simple answer is yes. I thought about this one a lot because if it's a rebirth, that's kind of cool. Like we get a second birthday. That's not a bad gig. But that's above my pay grade, unfortunately. I can't institute another holiday where we celebrate you getting reborn with all your friends and everything like that. Maybe talk to Jesse, talk to Rick, talk to Judah, someone higher up than me. That's beyond me, but I like the idea of a second birthday. That was my fun little one in the middle. That's not the intention behind baptism at all. That was just my little bit of fun. Another crazy question I had. Next question. Why is baptism such a massive celebration? What's up with all this hoo-ha? What's up with the riffraff? Why do we care so much about this? They're just going underwater and then they're coming back up. Why does this matter? Well, I think Luke 15:7 sums it up perfectly. It says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not repent." Now, to unfortunately be the bearer of bad news, you have been a sinner at some point in your life. That's the truth of the matter. As much as that's a sucky thing to say, as it always is, you've been a sinner. But the beautiful thing about baptism is that it achieves that moment of rebirth and repenting. And think about it, if Jesus rounds up everyone from heaven to celebrate a sinner being saved, then imagine what happens when they declare it to the world that I've been saved. That's a pretty special moment. And I think the beauty of baptism is that it's the closest we can get to celebrating like how heaven celebrates when a new Christian joins the family. That's the beauty of it. Which is why we love setting up this opportunity to do it. We're always saying, do you want to get baptized? We're doing baptisms. We talked about this baptism, like the hype, like the on Sundays and Fridays when we'd be like, yeah, water baptism's on. The promotion for that was already happening before Jesse had even asked me if I wanted to talk about baptism. Like, we want as many people to have the opportunity to do this. This is why leaders are always like, hey, you want to get baptized? Baptized? Do you want to get baptized? I can baptize you. You can baptize you. And we want to see you get baptized because it's an awesome thing and we want to celebrate it with you. It's such an awesome thing and we want to celebrate it with you. Because think about this. It's the moment where the church grows a little bit stronger, where you celebrate with your family. It's the moment where we reach the community a little bit more. It's the moment where we get a little bit closer to seeing God's kingdom come. This is one of the coolest things that you can do. Which leads me on to my final question. Should you get baptized now? I've just hyped it up. Should you? And the real answer is maybe. Maybe you should get baptized. But let me tell you something. You will know when it's time. You will know. It's a conversation between you and God, and you will know the time. For some people, this looks like it's getting baptized at 13, at young ages. For other people, it looks like getting baptized at 25. There's no rush and there's no delay to get baptized. We would love to see you do it as soon as possible, but it's on your time. The one thing I do ask, if you can take one thing from this, is understand the significance of baptism. But this is a serious and intense moment with God. And we love it, and we want to celebrate it, but we want it to be the right moment for you. It's so easy as a young kid to get caught up in the, I want to please the church, and I want to please my leader, so I'll get baptized because they've asked me to get baptized. And so you rush into it, and you get dunked, and then you think to yourself, what was actually the significance behind that? What actually happened just then? I really struggled. I always just wanted to get baptized, but something was just pulling me back from doing it at that time when I was younger. This is an incredible thing that we get to do, and tonight's just getting started. I'm like the pre-show to what's actually going to happen. But understand that there is a correct time and place to do it. Now, with all the riff-raff and waffling from me over and done with, I say it's time we get onto the main course, eh? Now, where's Jesse? Jesse's going to come up and do this next little bit, and yeah, let's get it on.